You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus, Brother Lightskin Vandenberg. How you doing, Marcus? I don't know why I felt the need to just bring your light-skinnedness to the people again.
If I called you Brother Darkskin, you'd be offended, right?
That would be a hate crime.
See? So, I mean...
you can't punch down, Marcus.
Oh, come on.
Not allowed to punch down. I haven't been blessed with the gift of fine hair that I can run my fingers through.
It's been extra curly, man. I'm on some new medication. I think it's doing tricks to my hair again.
So now you're looking like Eazy-E with the jerry curl?
Man, I'm glad my hair is dry. If it's wet, it'd be easy.
You're like, damn, Marcus really likes Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
He is making life changes based on that movie.
You heard the thing about the wig?
Oh, how much the wigs cost?
Yeah.
Yes, that was ridiculous. Yes, for the folks out there that haven't heard or haven't listened to Black on Black Cinema, the prices for the jerry curl wigs in the movie Straight Outta Compton, what was it, Marcus?
I think it was, what, 15 grand?
I think. Yeah, 15 grand per wig. Not for all the wigs, per wig. So every time you saw a jerry curl pop up in that movie, it was 15 grand.
That's, what do you do with the wig afterwards, right? You can't return it.
No, you can't return it. Like, and I'm wondering who is the Jerry Carroll expert on the set who is like, no, that's not wet enough. It's not authentic.
Yeah, I want to see where the wig is now. I want to follow up.
Maybe they'll put it in like a museum or something.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
First Jerry Carroll inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Actually, they should start a Jerry Carroll, like a Black Hair Hall of Fame. You had like the Jerry Curl from Straight Outta Compton, and then you'll have like the Soul Glow from Coming to America. You have Billy D's hair from Lady Sings the Blues.
Who's had a good perm?
Cat Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Cat Williams.
Xavier Woods had a good perm this week.
Yeah, I was like, is that Xavier Woods or Money Mike from next Friday? Or last Friday, whatever Friday it was.
Friday after next.
Friday after next, yeah, with Cat Williams and who was it, Terry Crews.
I do like the movie a little too much.
Friday after next.
I think more than the original Friday.
I was going to say,
it's funny.
It's funny, but it's not a great movie.
It's not a good movie. I won't defend it in that way, but it's funny. It's got some lines.
Can I tell you my favorite part of that movie, though?
Uh-huh.
The part that gets me every time, like you said, it's not a great piece of cinema, but this part gets me every time is when, is it Ricky Smiley who's playing the crook, the Santa Claus?
Yes.
It's Ricky Smiley, and when he's running away from Ice Cube and Mike Epps when he's stolen their Christmas money and the Christmas presents, and he gets away from him, and he starts doing the Deion Sanders primetime high step across the street before he gets hit by the car. Like, that part gets me every time, because he's just, prime time, baby. And then next thing you know, he gets run over by Pinky's Cadillac. Friday after next.
I would say top 10 Christmas movie.
Oh yeah. By far. I mean, it's no Die Hard.
Yeah, but it's not Die Hard.
It's a solid Christmas movie. It's better than that. What was that Christmas movie that John and Way reviewed on Review Away with Goldberg?
That's not Gene All the Way. No.
No. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. Then they made Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy and Santino.
Oof.
Which is not a top 10 Christmas movie.
No.
But I think it was like Christmas Chaos or something ridiculous like that. But Goldberg was Santa Claus, but he was a demon.
Straight out of WCW.
And it can't all be million-dollar ideas.
No.
Speaking of million-dollar ideas, you've been working hard, Marcus. You haven't had a chance to go to Vegas this week, so I'm glad that you've been able to keep some of your money. But other than that, how's your week been, brother?
It's been good. Went to PWG on Sunday, which was interesting.
With Andreas?
With Andreas Hill, yeah. He was Andreas was out here covering the Shane Mosley-Ricardo Mayorga fight.
Oh, yeah.
Fight in quotation
marks. What
did
you think of that fight?
I didn't watch it.
I think the only person that watched it in terms of people I follow on Twitter was Morgan Campbell, and I think that's because he had to for work.
We need to have Morgan on that tweet before Mayweather. We'll have to set aside 45 minutes to talk to Morgan.
Yeah. That's enough time for him to talk and cook some dinner and
yeah.
Get all that good stuff in.
Yeah, but PWG was fun. It was a 5-hour show.
That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the thing. I enjoyed myself. It was great. But A, it was 5 hours. B, the building doesn't have air conditioning. And Reseda, California, if you're not familiar with California, it's in the valley. And the valley is notorious for being a lot hotter than the rest of the city. And it was quite warm on Sunday afternoon. It was also a 5 o'clock start, so no AC in this building. So it was, after standing in line for almost 2 hours in the sun,
damn,
waiting to get inside, including one poor girl who we didn't name John Cena because she had a seizure in line. They had to call the ambulance out. She got on the gurney, and then 20 minutes later, she's fucking walking inside the building like nothing happened.
So she pulled a Paul Pierce.
Yeah, she came back.
She said, never give up.
She said, I'm not missing PWG.
She's
I was like, what are you doing? It's not that serious. You had a seizure in line. That's get that checked out. That's not good.
Wow. She's like, no, I have to see this. I have to see this show.
And it wasn't you're going and sitting in ideal conditions. It was hot as hell inside. So, I mean, it's just I will say that the best part about PWG, besides the action and the rain and the talent, is just the community. It's such a weird, positive, happy vibe from the people.
What was the name of this? What was the name of this show?
This is the Battle of Los Angeles. This is their 3-night tournament.
They always have some kooky name to it.
Yeah, so this was the night 3 of BOLA, the Battle of Los Angeles. And
so it was 5 hours every night?
No, this was because it was the last night, so...
Okay.
First two nights, there was 8 matches total, or 8 matches per night. And then night 3, I think there might have been 12 or 13 matches. So
yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah, but the people are super friendly, super nice. We were standing in line, and people were coming by and, offering water, pizza, candy, anything they had to share. I mean, that's something you don't see at wrestling shows, to be honest. In terms of names, Matt Slandis was there. If you don't know the name Matt Slandis, he was the guy who did the Triple H parody video.
Yes.
Involving all the women as the male actors, which was great. And he actually, before the show, he was going around passing around. If people want pizza, he said, hey, I got your pizza. And I guess during intermission of the show, he ordered 25 pizzas for people, to eat.
Wow.
'Cause there's no food at this place. There's only liquor and Slim Jims and Fritos.
Hey, that sounds like a party right there.
I guess he ordered pizza.
So they didn't have a concession stand or anything like that?
No. I mean, they just sell water, thank God, and then like beer, and then like snacks. No actual food. So that's, I mean, that's why, you know, 5 hours, I'm hungry. I got there at 3:30, right. So it was like, it's a long day. So he was really cool. A segment four subject was there. You want to take a guess?
Tell me it was Hollywood Simpson.
No, it was not. It was a worker.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it our friend Lisa Marie Barone?
It was.
Oh, how's she doing?
She's good. She pulled up in the crowded parking lot driving a Porsche.
Okay.
And I was like, all right.
Maybe some of that divorce money.
If she they still had her Illinois plates on, so I was like, all right. Still hasn't changed that yet. But she, I didn't talk to her directly. She was sort of lingering the line, but she seemed to be doing fine. Still looks in great shape. Funny enough, before we get to the more other wrestlers who were there, one of the guys I was sitting with, was a former TNA employee, and I forgot his name. I should have asked him what his name was, but, he said he worked with TNA from like 2007 through 2009. He started like he started as an intern and then sort of got like assigned all these responsibilities and then, you know, worked there. So, surprised he did not say positive things about TNA or Ditzy Carter. But Rey Mysterio was there.
Okay.
Without his mask, which is weird. Dominic was there, his son.
Oh, Dominic's got to be like 20 something now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's all grown up.
He's bigger than his daddy, isn't he?
I think he is. Conan was there, speaking to someone bigger than Mysterio.
Boom.
Yeah. Sorry, Conan. And then, like, the four horsewomen, all three of them. Oh, four of them. Not all four of them. Everyone except Ronda was there.
They were there just because you were there.
I know. They follow me around.
I told you, man, this black J.J. Dillon gig. Think about it.
I know. I'd
walk around with a suit and a suitcase.
And
a Halliburton.
Oh, man, Halliburton. A silver one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think of anyone else that stood up. PWG is notorious for having, like, Hollywood celebrities show up, but this card in particular was pretty tough to get tickets. Andrea said it sold out in a minute, so I'm not sure how he got tickets. But, yeah, if you haven't been to a PWG show and you live in the Los Angeles area, I would definitely highly recommend going. Zack Sabre Jr. won the tournament. If you haven't seen him, he's a guy from across the pond. He's a skinny guy, but a good grappler. Pretty good wrestler. I don't know if he would ever be on the radar of WWE, but you never know. They seem to be taking more guys on from an international fan base, like, you know, your Finn Balor's of the world, so a Tommy. So but the one guy who won me over on Sunday was Chris Hero.
Oh, good old Chris Hero, aka what was he, Cassius Ohno.
Chris Hero is he's a great worker. He gives zero fucks about his body.
I was gonna say that's the big thing, because that's what ultimately led to him getting dismissed from the WWE, his body.
Yeah, he's got dad bod on fleek. His body is interesting. It's not Kevin Owens. Well, it's hard to say, because Kevin Owens is like wearing a t-shirt and like some Spanx underneath that. So I don't know what his body really lets like, but Hero, he just lets it go. But he's a great worker. He got to the finals.
I was going
to
say, like, the thing with Chris Hero is, like, and you know, there was a discussion of whole thing about the WWE thing when they let him go. It's like, you know, he's soft and he's out of shape. It's like, he's not in terrible shape. He's just like you said. He's, like, got a dad bod and a beer gut. But he's not, like, compared to just your average Joe, he's not in terrible shape.
No, he just doesn't have the
The quote-unquote wrestler body.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy who had that, was a three-hour match or something recently that he did? Yeah. Yeah, so he can work. He can work all night. He worked three matches on Sunday.
Like, if this were 20 years ago, he'd still be a star. Just because, you know, you had more acceptance of body types back in those days.
Yeah, his body sort of reminds me of JBL when he first came on.
Yeah.
You know, JBL had a little flap to him. And Chris Hero has a lot of flap to him. But nothing he couldn't trim down to, like, you know, be in, you know, decent shape. But I he won me over. And plus, he comes out to his hip-hop song, which I forgot about in ROH days. So, but yeah, overall, it was a good time. I would definitely plan on doing it again, but hopefully a little less than 5 hours in that time.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you had a good experience with wrestling, because we're going to bring back the Ringside Rap this week, and there are going to be some not-so-good stories that we're going to have to talk about.
One last thing before we go to the Nets segment. On Monday at the office, coworker comes over and he says, Starface is here.
Al Pacino?
And I was like, Starface? He said, yeah, Starface the rapper. He's in the kitchen. So I run to the kitchen. And it's Starface. He came by, I guess he's had an album coming out on Friday, so he came by to do some stuff with Yahoo Music. But my coworker was talking to him and introduced myself to him, and really nice guy. He was just there shooting shit with us. I think he was happy to see some people who look like him. So he was more than friendly with us, and nice little celebrity running. I usually don't take pictures with celebrities because I'm not that dude, but when Starface comes by the office, you gotta take a picture of Starface. So,
yeah, I saw the picture on your Facebook, and you had it in black and white, you know, because you wanted that mystique. I gotta say, Marcus, you didn't look too out of place next to Scarface. You look like you could have been his DJ back in the day.
DJ Yella.
DJ Hi Yella. it all comes full circle. We started with the light skin, and we end with the light skin.
There we go. We're professionals here.
That's how you do it. Well, speaking of professionals, Marcus, professional football, more specifically the NFL, is getting ready to kick off. And as such, so is fantasy football. And I think we got to bring in a friend of the program to help us out with our fantasy teams in second down.
Yeah, he's an easy name to remember for me. Rhymes with... Sharkus.
So, we'll be back for second down with this very special guest, this man whose name rhymes with Sharkus, and he's not only going to help Marcus and I with our fantasy teams, but hopefully he'll be able to help you guys out there too, except for the franchise, because screw that guy. I'm just playing. No, I'm serious. Stick and stay, because we got more Kings of Sport right after this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster, feeding the poor and helping out with their bills. Although I was born in Jamaica, now I'm in the US making deals. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster, I mean one that you don't really know. Riding around town in a drop top Benz, hitting switches in my black 6-4. Now gangster ass niggas come in all shapes and colors, some got killed in the past, but this gangster here was a smart one. Started living for the Lord and I last. Now all I gotta say to you, wanna be pussy and cocksucking pranksters. When the shit jumps off, what the fuck you gonna do? Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Blaze TV Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceTVNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTVN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceTVNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gab fest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than nodding rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow. Referees, whistle blows, weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
The old-timers, do you remember the names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff in the snow on the...
We are back on the Kings of Sport. It is time for Second Down, our weekly football fix. And Marcus, folks that listen to this show know that a big part of our enjoyment of football is the fantasy aspect. And you and I, you know, we're not conspiring. We're not colluding, if you will. But we do want to beat the three-time champion of the franchise, who is now trying for his fourth consecutive title in the Kings of Sport League. So I think we need to bring in an expert that can help us, maybe give us some tips and some tricks in order to dethrone this dynasty.
Yeah, our guest this week is a returning guest. He appeared on the show last year. He is the NFL.com fantasy editor and a personal friend of mine, Marcus Grant. What's up, man?
Good to talk to you guys again this year.
Good. Yeah, I know, man. It's been a year already, which is scary. And but it feels like the NFL never stops, and it much like years past, it seems like the Super Bowl bleeds into free agency, bleeds into the draft, bleeds into arrests, bleeds into fantasy. So we're at the fantasy portion of the NFL schedule here. And off the top, I guess one of the big storylines coming into this upcoming season is the return of Adrian Peterson and where he sort of fits on the fantasy landscape. What's your thoughts on AP returning this year?
It's nothing but good for fantasy owners. He's a guy who... I feel like, for my taste, Le'Veon Bell's probably the number one overall pick, even with the two-game suspension. But Adrian Peterson, you take him at number one, I don't think anybody has a beef with that. It really is kind of about your personal preference. But, I mean, he's a beast. There's nothing to be said about it. I mean, this is a guy who came back from ACL surgery and almost set an NFL rushing record that season. So I don't worry about him. He's had a whole year off. He hasn't taken any wear and tear in the last 12 months. So I think he's a guy who's going to come off the board in most leagues, probably with the top, certainly the top three picks, probably in the top two picks in a lot of leagues.
Now, Marcus, conventional wisdom is you go running back high, and Adrian Peterson, as you mentioned, is going to be somebody that is highly coveted. But in an NFL that is increasingly favoring the passing game, are there some quarterbacks or receivers or maybe even tight ends that we should be looking at in those early rounds?
Yeah, you know, I am one of those guys who I feel like if you're in the top three or four in your draft order, you're probably looking at a running back. I mean, you've got Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, maybe a Jamal Charles, maybe a Matt Forte or Marshawn Lynch, depending on your – or Eddie Lacy, I should throw him in there too. But maybe Marshawn Lynch or Matt Forte, depending on your flavor. But if you're somewhere from, you know, five or six on – I think you look somewhere else because there are a lot of question marks at running back. So I wouldn't have a problem with going, you know, either Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck. Certainly Antonio Brown's a name that's going to come off the board in late in the first round. Rob Gronkowski is a guy that I wouldn't have a problem taking somewhere around 9 or 10, depending where you are in your draft order. You know, I think those guys are certainly going to be first-round picks. You may even see somebody like, you know, Dez Bryant or Demaryius Thomas, maybe even Calvin Johnson coming off the board early in a lot of drafts. So it's not a hard and fast rule this year just because the number of workhorse backs of guys who are going to get 250, 300 carries, that number has gotten smaller and smaller each year. So it's not necessarily a given that you're taking a running back with your first-round pick.
You mentioned running backs. A couple years ago, Monte Ball was the guy, the guy who came out of nowhere, who all of a sudden was a first-round pick. Who is this year's Monte Ball, a guy you think is being overvalued by the consensus fantasy community?
Who is the Monte Ball this year? I do worry about Forte a little bit because the change in the offense. You know, he's not going to catch 102 passes like he did last season. I worry about Marshawn Lynch just because he's had more wear and tear than anybody in the National Football League. I think DeMarco Murray, obviously being in Philadelphia, his numbers are going to fall off a little bit this year. A couple guys that I do like from the running back spot that might be a little undervalued. I think Justin Forsett, now that Mark Trestman is in Baltimore, I think Justin Forsett, the guy who could probably catch in the neighborhood of 70 to 75 passes this year because of the way Mark Trestman likes to run that offense. I certainly like him. A guy who, you know, won't go in the first two rounds, but maybe in the fourth round or so, Amir Abdullah has his hype train is kind of out of control right now. I think he's a guy who really could do some things. I think he eventually takes over that backfield in Detroit, even with Joique Bell there. So, I mean, those are a couple of guys that I really kind of like at the running back spot. I also like Lamar Miller. I'm actually, oddly enough, really big on the Dolphins' offense this year. It may be my downfall when it's all said and done, but I'm kind of big on the Dolphins. So I've kind of gotten on board with Lamar Miller at the running back spot, too.
Now follow me here, Marcus, because I'm going to take a long way to get to a short question. But I feel fantasy football, much like life, is about relationships. And one of the key elements of relationship is trust. And trust is something that is very hard to regain once you've lost it. And that brings me to a player that's been getting a lot of buzz in this offseason, saying that he's resurrected and he's ready for a breakout season and a comeback season. And that is a man that has burned me time and time again in fantasy football, Doug Martin. Should I drink the Kool-Aid and draft Doug Martin again, Marcus?
Okay, so here's the thing. I have been driving the Doug Martin hype train probably for the last month to 6 weeks. I have been all aboard. I was watching tape, and my whole thing this offseason was everything I saw on tape, all the problems with Doug Martin had nothing to do with Doug Martin. I mean, the offensive line in Tampa was terrible last year. Then he got hurt. And so I have been big on Doug Martin, but I totally understand having trust issues. There are plenty of guys out there that I've had trust issues with, and I just can't do it. So, look, I think Doug Martin is going to have a really good year. I've been trying to snatch him up somewhere in the middle rounds in as many drafts as I possibly can. But, hey, look, I'm not going to fault you if you've had your heart broken one too many times by a guy and you decide you want to just leave him alone this year.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I mean, I'm looking at him much like Tina looked at Ike in that limousine, and it's like, no, I just can't take you back.
I feel you. No, I totally feel you on that, man. I have been killed by a number of guys, and so, like, you know, for everything it's worth, some of these guys out there may have fantastic seasons, but I just can't do it. I get it.
In terms of the rookie class, who are a couple guys do you think will sort of break out at the end of the year as a fantasy asset?
Well, I did mention Amir Abdullah. I think he's going to be fantastic this year. And it's funny because of all the talk of the rookie running backs, everybody talked immediately about Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. Not nearly as much about Amir Abdullah, but he's the guy who's had the best preseason. So I think he's one. I love Amari Cooper. I think he's going to be fantastic. I worry a little bit about Derek Carr because he's kind of erratic throwing the football, but somehow I think they're just going to feed Amari Cooper the ball as much as possible. And another guy that I've really gotten on board with, and Marcus will love this, I'm big on Nelson Aguilar this year.
All right.
I like him because he runs good routes. He's got consistent hands. He's got good speed. But on top of it, he's just in a great offense. I mean, the Eagles could score 35, 40 points a game this year. They're going to spread the ball around a lot. And I think Nelson Aguilar ends up being that number two receiver alongside Jordan Matthews. And I think he's a great kind of mid-round pick if you can somehow snag him somewhere around, you know, 7, 8, or 9.
What, no Riley Cooper on that depth chart there? One
not
two?
So much. Yeah, no, not so much. No.
Well, let's stay with the rookies real quick. And injuries are something that you can't predict in football. And an injury to a quarterback can be devastating, not only to the real team, but your fantasy team as well. And I'm looking at a guy for maybe as a backup spot on my roster for a quarterback, Jameis Winston. Is Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, would those be smart pickups to have on your bench as a backup?
I think those are guys that you take a flyer on with one of your last few picks. I've actually kind of started in some leagues to take the strategy of not even drafting a kicker or a defense. I figure I'll just pick one up off the waiver wire when it comes time for me to plug one in my lineup. So maybe with that last round pick, you take a chance on Mariota or Winston. Personally, I think I like Marcus Mariota a little bit more. I think Jameis Winston has a decent future ahead of him, but I think this year he's going to struggle simply because he's a guy who likes to take chances down the field. So it means he's a guy who's likely to throw a whole lot of interceptions this year. Mariota tends to be a little more careful with the football. There was such a big deal about him not throwing a pick in training camp for the first week or something like that. So I think he's going to protect the ball a little bit more. And he's very good at running the ball. I mean, for all the things Jameis does, he is not fast. I don't think that's a secret. So Mariota's a guy who can get out of the pocket, who can get you some fantasy points with your legs. And that's a big, big deal. I mean, since you want about Tim Tebow, he had a nice little run as a fantasy quarterback for a few weeks simply because he would go out and he might get you, 50, 60 rushing yards and maybe a rushing touchdown. So I think that's something that's kind of invaluable, which is why I'm slightly leaning more Mariota than Winston this year.
Don't mention Tebow in the show, please. Don't. You're getting Nate started.
Hey, between Tim Tebow and Mike Vick, all my favorites are in backup capacities, at least for now.
Yeah, for now.
And I wouldn't touch either of them in fantasy, so yeah. There's that.
Marcus, I know you're a lifelong 49ers fan, and from a fantasy aspect, this team is sort of interesting this season. Is there anyone on this team that you actually trust from a fantasy standpoint?
I do like Carlos Hyde. I think I was bigger on Carlos Hyde over the summer than I am right now. I thought back in, May, June, July, I really had high hopes for Carlos Hyde. As we've gotten closer to the season, I'm not as optimistic simply because my fear is he's going to be a two-down back. I mean, they still have Reggie Bush there, who's probably going to be the guy for third downs and for obvious passing downs. So that makes Hyde a two-down running back on this team. Plus, look, as much as it pains me to say this, the Niners are not going to be very good right now. So that means they could be playing from behind a whole lot, which means there may not be as many chances for them to run the football with Carlos Hyde. So he's a guy that maybe you take, but you stash him on your bench. He's kind of your fourth or fifth running back, depending on how your roster breaks down. The other guy that I would maybe take a chance on is Vernon Davis, who I think he scored about 25 points that first week last year against the Dallas Cowboys. I think he scored 10 points the rest of the year.
Ouch.
But I think he's going to be better this season. I think last year he was banged up and was never completely healthy. Plus, he had a lot of drops, which is just uncharacteristic for him. But I think he kind of straightens that out, and I think Vernon Davis is the guy that, as a late-round pick, a guy maybe you're using as a second tight end, I think he has a good season.
One of the things people talk about this time of year is the sleeper. And I think in an age where we've got as much information as we've ever had, and the people that listen to this show certainly are going to be checking out the internet or listening to experts like you about guys that, may be diamonds in the rough, it's harder than ever to find a sleeper. Like, I think a guy that is, that can have a great season under the radar is CJ Spiller in New Orleans, but I wouldn't classify him as a sleeper. Who's a true sleeper, Marcus, that you think people aren't really looking at right now?
Well, I mean, Nate, you said it. It's getting harder to pick out these sleepers. I mean, a guy that I had was, you know, as you mentioned it, I had Doug Martin kind of as a sleeper, but now the word is out. People are kind of jumping on that train. I thought Amir Abdullah was a sleeper.
He keeps sleeping.
You know, I thought Amir Abdullah was going to be a sleeper this year. I mean, I guess, you know, Jarvis Landry, I keep telling about my love for Miami Dolphins right now. I like Jarvis Landry. I mean, he's a guy that people are kind of slowly starting to warm up to. I guess his Ryan Tannehill is another one that I love. People seem to just knock him and automatically think that, oh, he's Ryan Tannehill. He doesn't move the meter a whole lot. But I just have this sneaking feeling that Ryan Tannehill, he might not be a top five fantasy quarterback at the end of the year, but he'll be knocking on the door. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to surprise a whole lot of folks. And this is a guy that you can wait, and you can pick him up probably in the eighth or ninth round you can get him as your first quarterback and feel pretty okay about it.
Yeah, that's a good one, because I trust Tannehill more than I would trust a guy like Andy Dalton or a guy like Jay Cutler in terms of, you know, putting up the numbers I need.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. I mean, I think Tannehill's light years ahead of those guys, and I think especially when you talk about Cutler, I mean, I'm not big on him anyway, but it doesn't help that all of his wide receivers right now are hurt. Kevin White looks like he might be done for the year. Alshon Jeffrey has this mysterious calf injury. Eddie Royal's been out of practice. Marquise Wilson has been out of practice. He doesn't have anybody to throw the football to, so that's, you know, you're taking a quarterback who likes to throw it to the other team in the first place, and now all his wide receivers are hurt. That's a terrible combination.
Before we let you go, we got to talk some college football. You're a USC alum. I'm a huge USC fan, as you know. What do you expect from our boys this year?
I do think they're going to win the Pac-12 South. I think they are good enough to win the Southern Division, which, you know, has been an issue for them the last couple of years. It certainly helps. You know, UCLA is breaking in a brand new freshman quarterback. I think Arizona State is, you know, as long as Hayes Pollard doesn't try to, you know, call a fair catch on a Hail Mary this year, there's no Jalen Strong to come in and swoop in and make catches. So I think that's going to be, I think they can get there. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they win the conference. I mean, we don't know what Oregon really has in store. I think Stanford's going to be a little bit down this year. So this is their opportunity to get through the conference and get back into those playoffs. After that, I'm not sure that they have enough to compete, you know, with the Ohio States, with the Alabamas, what have you. But I do think this team is good enough to win the Pac-12 conference.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, real quick, you mentioned Ohio State, and they certainly have an embarrassment of riches at the quarterback position. And much like with Tiger Woods, back in the day, people used to say Tiger of the field. In this case, it's a little bit more dicey because there are a lot of strong teams in the top tier of college football. But I'm still thinking Ohio State's the favorite. Do you think, Marcus, at the end of the season, Ohio State will be playing in that championship game?
Yes, I do. You know, I do think, though, at some point, Urban Meyer is going to have to figure out the quarterback situation. I mean, you mentioned the embarrassment of riches. You know, between, you know, Cardale Jones and Barrett and those guys there. There's so many guys that can play the position. But I do think eventually he's going to have to name a guy and stick with a guy. I mean, you heard the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. I do think that applies. So somehow in the first month or so, we'll figure out how their quarterback situation is going to go. But there's just too much talent on that team. And, you know, say what you want about Urban Meyer. He might not be the, you know, the most cuddly personality. The dude can coach football, and I think that's really all that matters up in Columbus, and I think you'll see them there in that Final Four. You'll see them playing in that championship game again.
At what point will people realize that the Big Ten, in general, is a trash conference? I mean, considering Ohio State only has one ranked opponent currently at the moment on the schedule in Michigan State, it seems like at some point, you know, we're still figuring out this whole playoff system, but how, I mean, compared to USC's schedule where you're facing in conference play a ranked team almost every other week, something has to give, right, in terms of just sort of strength of schedule?
Well, you would think so. You would really think so. But I think most people realize that the Big Ten as a whole isn't particularly good. I mean, there's a lot of hype now. Obviously, Ohio State's the defending champions. Jim Harbaugh is at Michigan, so that's going to bring a whole lot of hype with it. You know, Michigan State has put together a decent team in the last few years. And in some ways, I don't know, what's funny to me about this is that, you know, all those years when the SEC was rolling through people and winning national championships, you know, I looked at that conference and said it was very top-heavy. You had two or three teams at the top that were really very good, but nobody wants to talk about the Kentuckys and the Vanderbilts of the world that were languishing at the bottom of the conference year in and year out. And I think it's kind of the same thing with the Big Ten. If I'm a Big Ten fan, I think I'm a little bit offended that my conference gets called out for being top-heavy, but the SEC was able to skate on that for all these years. So I think people realize that, but I think at the end of the day, Ohio State is so good, especially when they were kind of the last team into the playoffs, and they steamrolled everybody. I think that's going to give all of the supporters of the Big Ten a whole lot more ammunition to say that, you know, their conference belongs with everybody else.
I agree. And speaking of supporters, brother, where can the people find you on the internet? Where can the people find your expertise in this fantasy football season? And where can they find you, even if you are a champion of Doug Martin, you know, that aside, where can they find your great insight when it comes to football?
Well, you can find me on the internet at NFL.com/fantasy. I'm on Twitter at Marcus G. It's MarcasG. And we'll also be back on the television box soon, starting September 7th. That is actually this Monday coming up. NFL Fantasy Live will be on NFL Network, so you can check us out there 5 days a week. You can see me 3 of those 5 days during the week. So there are plenty of ways for you to come and point and laugh at all the bad decisions I make this year.
Sounds good, brother. Appreciate you coming on and helping us out. Marcus, you feeling excited about this season now? Do you think we can take down the franchise?
I think I'm ready, man. Doug Martin all the way.
So Doug Martin and Tim Tebow, that's who you're going with?
We didn't say all that.
Marcus, you got my number. You guys text me. Well, I'll help you out whenever.
All right.
Sounds good. That is Marcus Brandt. We are the Kings of Sport, and we'll be back with more show right after this. What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
And now it's time to get you caught up on the week's biggest stories from the world of professional wrestling. It's the Ringside Wrap on the Kings of Sport.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest news, articles, opinions, and podcasts when it comes to the world of sports, entertainment, comics, movies, TV, music. If you want it, they've got it. You're down with the Kings. Place to Be Nation is down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com. And as we mentioned back in the A block, this has been an eventful week in the world of pro wrestling. And Marcus, where do you want to start on this this wheel of, you remember what was the cartoon? Animaniacs. You remember Animaniacs?
Uh-huh.
And how they had that one segment at the end of the show, Wheel of Morality.
Yeah.
The Wheel of Morality, turn, show us the lesson that we should learn. I think this week for the ringside rap, we should have the Wheel of Immorality, and let's spin the Wheel of Immorality and find out what lessons we learned from these ne'er-do-wells.
All right. Let's spin. Oh, look what it landed on. Hold motherfucking Hogan.
Brother.
Holy crap. Hulk Hogan.
That's WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan to you, Marcus.
Well, we're going to talk about a former Hall of Famer in a second, because someone else got that out this week. By the way, I'm doing a fantasy draft. I'm not going to lie, people. I'm multitasking here on the podcast, so.
So you just took the information Marcus gave you, and now you're rushing off to draft Doug Martin Cutler?
That's how it should be done. So I'm looking here at either CJ Anderson or DeMarco Murray.
Ooh.
I guess CJ Anderson.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know if I trust DeMarco in that Chip Kelly offense. Yeah.
All right, back to Hulk Hogan. So he broke the silence this week. Actually, towards the end of last week, TMZ got him on the street and he said some more stupid shit about being Donald Trump's running mate for the election. So, but he taped his interview last Friday. It aired on Monday on Good Morning America, where it was really the first time he sort of sat down and opened up about his now infamous racist rant that was taped years ago. And the highlight of this interview was this one great paragraph, and I'm going to read it to you. When asked by the host, are you a racist? And Hogan's response was, quote, "I'm not a racist, but I never should have said what I said. It was wrong. I'm embarrassed by it. People need to realize that you inherit things from your environment. And when I grew up, where I grew up was South Tampa, Port Tampa, and it was a really rough neighborhood, very low income, and all of my friends greeted each other saying that word." Now, Hulk Hogan, let me verify this before I say this. Let me check here. All right, Hulk Hogan is 62 years old.
Okay.
He was born in 1953. So let's just say Hulk Hogan, in his formative years, let's say he was raised, we'll say 1965. You're 12. You're at the age where you're old enough to realize what's right and wrong. So we're to assume that in 1965, in Tampa, Florida, that Hulk Hogan grew up in an environment where a word that wasn't even popular or popularized until the rap culture in the 80s was being tossed around just in Tampa on Hogan's block, and he somehow heard this and it just ran with it, and he's been using this word ever since. So that's what you're telling us, Hulk.
Right. You know, I'm assuming that in Tampa in the mid-60s that this neighborhood Hogan grew up in, it was, even though he says it was a rough neighborhood, a blue-collar neighborhood, I'm assuming most of the people in that neighborhood were white.
Yes.
I don't think that's too far afield to guess. And so Hulk Hogan wants us to believe in 1965, in a predominantly white neighborhood, young white kids are going around calling each other the N-word. Like, hey, what's up, my nigger?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, Terry.
In 1965.
I'm not even going to call you Hulk Hogan for the rest of the segment. Come on, Terry. That you want me to believe that?
That wasn't even happening in 1975.
No.
1985, now you're talking. But 1975 or 65, no. It just
Jimmy, wasn't. Jimmy, who's your friend? Oh, that's my nigga Terry, Mom.
Yeah.
No, that never happened.
Did not happen. And now the neighbors of that area where Hogan grew up have now come out this week and said, you're full of shit, Hogan. You're lying. Stop lying.
As they should.
As they should.
As they should.
The same guy who once said he was this close with being Metallica?
Yeah, he was going to be Metallica's guitarist.
Yeah, sure. And what pisses me off even more is after this interview, you heard more of the rumblings about, well, when is Hogan coming back to WWE? He shouldn't come back. Why would you want him back? To do what? I don't get people. He's not coming back. And at this rate, when he dies, I don't know if he does an obit on TV.
Oh, he will. He will.
Say if he died tomorrow.
Right.
No, it's tomorrow. If he dropped dead tomorrow. Would he get, here we go, would he get, we have different levels to this, would he get the in memory of at the top of the show, would he get the 10 bell salute, or would he get a video package?
He's not getting the video package or the 10 bell salute. I think if it happened tomorrow, he would get the little card at the beginning of the show.
The little card. Now, would the announcers make any mention to the card during the show?
Ooh, that's a good one, because I think...
Because there's a lot of times where they show the card and never mention the guy.
Yeah, I think they ignore it. I think they would ignore it. I think they would just have that little in memory of Hulk Hogan, whatever to whatever, and fade to black, and then fade up to the show, and then that would be it.
I think.
But I do think he would get that mention just because, he should not be celebrated, but I do think that he's such a giant in the industry and to that company in particular that they would have to make mention of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them doing much more than that, and I would like to think the fans would not bring signs that would say, rest in peace, Hulk, or...
They would.
I know. I tried to be
they
supportive.
They will.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of people after this Good Morning America interview that was like, okay, what's the problem? He said he was sorry. Let's bring him back.
Yeah. I just... People, you don't understand. This guy...
I'm not saying that we can't all make mistakes and we can't learn from mistakes and we can't repent, in a sense, you know, like Michael Vick. Michael Vick changed his life, but Michael Vick had to go through the hard times first. He had to look in the mirror and he had to be honest with himself, which is something that Terry still is not doing, and that's being honest and taking accountability.
Yeah, he still hasn't done that. And I think the conversation, I would understand if people were like, well, why not take him back if he actually owned up to it and said all the right things? But he's saying all the wrong things. He just doesn't get it. And he's got some bad PR people around him that continue to put him out there to say stupid shit like this. And it's just like, dude, if you're going to say this, say nothing at all. Just disappear. Don't be on TV trying to push your agenda of this guy who just made a mistake, because you're not sorry.
You think he came back too soon? You think he should have laid low for a little bit longer?
It's been, what, a month maybe?
I was going to say, it hadn't been that long.
Yeah, it's
like a month and a half tops.
Yeah, I think it's too soon. I think if he would have waited a lot more and come up with some better answers than what he delivered, I think he'd be in better shape. But as of now, Nah, man.
Yeah, because I think if he, let's say he waited a year and then came back and what he said on this show was more like what Jake the Snake said on Live Audio Wrestling, mm-hmm. where he owned up to his past and, you know, we all make mistakes and this is something that I did and I'm not proud of it, but I've learned from it and I've moved on. Like, okay, maybe we can give you a little bit of entrance back into the WWE, give you a little crumb here or there, and you know, you can just earn your way back. But if you're just going to sit up here and tell me lies, Terry, no, you can't come back, man.
Yeah, so if for you wrestling fans who are holding out hope for Hulk Hogan, and here's the thing, Hogan's return this last run, he was basically a spokesperson for the company. You can't have this dude be a spokesperson for the company ever. Ever.
With the breast cancer women and the little make-a-wish kids. Like, no, you can't have the guy that said the N-word to be, you know, down with those groups.
He can't do your hits on the Today Show. He can't promote your product. So if he can't do that, he obviously can't work in the ring anymore. Then what's the point of having him around? There is no point of having him around. So, sorry. He's done.
Unless they want to make him their liaison to the black community, like he can go on BET.
And you know what? Actually, if he was smart, he would have maybe gave his first interview to a black.
Like Tavis Smiley or somebody like that?
No, like a radio station, like Hot 97 or.
Oh, okay.
With Rosenberg, like maybe. That's actually. Yeah, there you go. If he's really that sorry and he's ready to, you know, talk and prove that he's different, go on Breakfast Club.
Yeah, go in front of Charlamagne.
Go in front of Charlamagne and take it.
Take the abuse. Let him call you donkey today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this to me was just like, it just spoke of, hey, I'm not saying that he's not sorry, but I think it's, I'm sorry that this came out, and I'm sorry that I got caught, rather than I'm truly sorry that I hurt these people.
Yeah.
So, no, you can't come back. No, not yet, Terry. who's next, Marcus? Do we get any happier stories on this Wheel of Morality? Immorality, if you will?
Well, we go from a racist to now an accused murderer in Jimmy Snuka. Is that any happier?
Oh, Superfly, brother.
Yeah, this is an odd story. Jimmy Snuka was accused of killing his girlfriend at the time, and back to 1983, and the case went cold for 32 years, and it wasn't until a story in a local paper in Pennsylvania last year that sort of resurfaced the story and brought attention to it, and they reopened the case, and on Tuesday we found out that Jimmy Snuka, at the age of 72, would be charged with third degree murder for the death of his girlfriend back in 1983.
Mm. Whew,
like mind you, he has stomach cancer on top of that.
Yeah, well, like when I first heard this, Marcus, I was just like, wow, like this. I didn't even know how to feel, because it's like, wow, if Jimmy Snuka did this, he needs to be held accountable for his actions. He needs to be held accountable for taking that girl's life. But at the same time, like when you look at it, he doesn't make for a good villain, so to speak, because it's like, yeah, like the dude's sick. He's old. It's like, oh, man, like I was a little bit conflicted, Marcus.
Yeah, it's a weird story. I mean, the fact that it took them this long to finally charge him with murder, and the fact that he does have stomach cancer, and now I think his attorney is saying he has dementia as well, so he shouldn't be standing trial. It's just like, you know, let's just say they convict him of murder. Does he go in jail? I mean, hell, will he be alive by the time the trial's done? It's just a weird story.
Yeah, like I get it for the family, because you do want closure. And like you said, man, this thing is what, 30 years?
32. I was born in 83. Yeah.
Yeah, 32 years worth of uncertainty and not knowing. And, you know, you just want the truth. You just want, like I said, closure on this whole thing. And so I don't think that, like, if I were in their shoes, I'd probably be thinking the same thing. Like, you know, one way or another, we need to hear the truth. We need to find the truth. And somebody needs to be held accountable for taking our sister's life, taking our daughter's life.
Yeah, I mean, the young woman was 23 at the time when she passed. So even at then, Jimmy was still much older, in his 40s at the time. As a result of this murder charge, Snuka is dating, I guess we can call it now, the Hulk Hogan treatment from the company. He's been suspended from his Legends contract, and I think his Hall of Fame presence on the website has been also scrubbed. So, yeah, it's... This was my initial... As much as we just talked about Hulk Hogan and my issues with that, my concern was when the company decided to do this with Hogan is that they're setting themselves up for future cases like this where they've set the bar so high in terms of how they treat people who are in trouble that they need to keep it up. Otherwise, people are going to point fingers at them. So,
yeah.
Even though he's even though he's innocent until proven guilty, they have assumed in their eyes that this is enough to basically erase him.
And I just hope, you know, going that step further, like, that this doesn't have any effect or ramifications on Tamina. Because it's like, you know, she had nothing to do with this. She wasn't even born. She was born, but...
Yeah, and that's... I mean, that's a trend.
You can't punish somebody that was a baby.
I mean, not to jump ahead to our other stories in the world of wrestling, but who would you rather not be this week? Tamina Snuka, Seth Rollins, or Charlotte?
Oh, man. Oof. Oh, who would I most rather not be?
Yeah.
Oh. That's tough, but I might have to go with Tamina. Because that's even though she didn't do anything, like, that's...
Yeah, it's your dad.
It's her dad. And like, a lot of our listeners, they're probably either our age or a little bit younger. And they just remember Jimmy Snuka as the guy that, you know, came back on the Legend shows or in the old clips getting hit upside the head by Roddy Piper. But, like, in the 70s and early 80s, Jimmy Snuka was the deal. Like, he was a big star, and at one time it was rumored that he was going to get in Rome with the WWE title or the WWF title at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how those three, I mean, that's all three different stories, but the fact that you have all this stuff going on in your personal life and then you have to go to work and your day job is in front of millions, it's interesting how they process all that news they've been through this week. So,
yeah. So hopefully the truth will come out, and you know, it's like I said, it's a weird story because normally in a case like this, you know, you want justice, and I think everybody regarding this story does want justice, but when the accused person is not only a wrestling icon, but somebody that is in his current state, old and sick and feeble. It's not good all the way around.
Yeah.
So speaking of all the way around, let's spin the wheel of immorality again. And what do we land on now, Marcus? Hopefully something happier than what's going on with Jimmy Snuka and my man Terry.
Nope. Hey, we landed on Bram.
Oh.
We'll dive into TNA for a minute here.
Nah, don't even call him Bram. Call him by his government, because the character Bram should not be besmirched by what this dude did in real life. All right,
Thomas Latimer it is.
Yeah, Tommy, we talking about you.
Tommy R. Latimer.
So, for those that haven't heard, what did Tommy get into this past week?
Tommy and his living girlfriend, a.k.a. not Charlotte Flair, because they are not together anymore, and I don't think people realized that until the story came out.
Yeah, because a lot of people thought Charlotte was the one involved with this.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know until later on that they had separated. So, Thomas got into a fight with his live-in girlfriend and allegedly pinned the woman to their bed by her neck and held her against her will. And police were called, and he was arrested, and he's been charged with false imprisonment and domestic battery by strangulation. So two felony charges.
Like, we've had this conversation before, unfortunately, with a lot of the NFL players over the summer. And my sentiments stand the same. Like, you can't, like, especially when you're that big, man, you're that physical, you can't hit a woman. Like, you what's the old Chris Rock line? Like, hey, I shake them, but you can't hit them.
Yeah.
And that goes for, you know, holding her by her throat. Like, come on, man. Like, you could say you were trying to subdue her or whatever, but when you're as big as you are and you got your hands around a woman's throat, like, no, that's not cool at all, man. And that's putting it lightly.
And when you have a history of getting in trouble with the law, I mean, it's the reason why he's not with WWE. I mean, he was part of the Ascension, the original Ascension, and got into trouble, got cut, and surprise, ended up in TNA. TNA said, we'll take you in. And now TNA has now basically suspended him from what? I don't know, because now they're doing any fucking shows, so.
Yeah, that was the thing that got me when this came out. Like, he's been suspended until further notice, and he will not be involved in any upcoming TNA events. Like, well, you've only got one upcoming event.
Here's the problem, though, and you would know this better than me. He's on TV currently, correct?
Yep.
What do you do about that? Because you already scrubbed Hernandez from the show. So now you have to scrub Brand from the show? Because
yep, he's going to get that Hernandez treatment.
But he's part. What is he part of the Global Force stuff with Jared?
Not yet. Like, as of right now, no. I haven't read ahead on the spoilers. But the last that we saw Bram was about 2 weeks ago when he was having a feud with Mr. Anderson.
Okay.
And that's the last we saw Bram. So I don't know if they've had big plans to involve him in the Global Force storyline and they've got that stuff already in the can. And if so, they're going to have to face a big decision because the Hernandez, while Hernandez was in a lot of stuff, he was never a main character. And I think even though Bram was not a main eventer, so to speak, he figured into a lot of TNA's plans. Like, they were really high on this guy.
Yeah, are they done with the BDC stuff or are they still taking stuff off the show?
The only BDC guy left is Kenny King, and then
in terms of the segments they filmed with Hernandez, is that all in the past? Or
yeah, all that stuff is done. All that stuff was done before the GFW stuff began.
Oh, okay, all right. So
yeah, we're past Hernandez, but the question becomes now: if you have to take say 15-20 minutes out of your program to eliminate the Bram footage, what do you go to? Because at least it wasn't the best solution with Hernandez, but at least they had the pay-per-view to go to and put those matches on the Impact show. Now, you know, you don't have anything extra that you recorded.
Yeah, man. Well, there's one solution to all this, you know, that Destination American just canceled the whole thing. Just make it easy on you guys on TNA.
They very well might. They very well might. Like, they could cut this thing at any time. Like, between now and Bound for Glory, like, this show could be off the air. So I think that something like Bram's news coming out does not make them more appealing to Destination America.
Yeah, I wonder what they thought about that headline. Because when you have, like, the Associated Press writing about you, that's not a good sign.
Network that airs programming that some of your audience might engage in some Bram-like activities.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a fair statement to make, but it's probably a true statement, Marcus.
Yeah, it's probably true.
So, yeah, like this. Like, and then here's the saddest thing about this. Well, other than the domestic incident, the domestic assault. The saddest thing about this is, he was one of the few guys on TNA that you could actually see having a career somewhere else because he was, you know, he was getting better. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, if he could keep his head straight outside of the ring and outside of the program and in real life and just not be an asshole to people, he could probably, you know, he could have probably had a good living in this business. But now it's like, man, how many chances do you give this guy?
Yeah, he's a good worker, but he's not a star.
Like he's not like if John Cena had done the same thing to Nikki Bella, yeah, John Cena would be in trouble. But eventually, John Cena would be working again.
Yeah, oh, your mic is crapping out there. Right. Yep.
All right, is that better?
Yep, there we go. All
right. So let me. Was it crapping out on the John Cena point?
No, you just still hear it. It was starting to fade, but it's fine.
All right. So, Marcus, let's move from this unfortunate incident and once again spin the wheel of immorality, and hopefully we land on a much lighter subject, Marcus. I don't know why I keep expecting this thing to happen, and I don't know why I keep setting it up like this, because every time we go to a different segment or a different story, much like Doug Martin, you've let me down, and we have gone to an even darker level of despair.
Well, you want darker. This person doesn't like dark things, I think. So, it landed on Zara Schreiber.
That sounds like the name of somebody that isn't too fond of dark people.
Yeah, she is. If you don't know the name, she is the girlfriend of Seth Rollins. She was the girl, if you watched TakeOver, she was the young lady tatted up who sent it to Rollins at the show. She's also an NXT diva, or was an NXT diva, because she was fired on Monday after some social media posts were discovered. One or a couple involving some swastikas and a conversation about Disney black princesses and her thoughts about black people in general.
So, wait a minute. See, I haven't heard this story, Marcus. I heard the story, but I didn't hear the details.
Oh, you haven't heard the story?
She's beefing on Disney black princesses?
Yes.
And isn't there only one Disney black princess?
Yes.
So what is the problem with this?
One too many for for Zara.
Oh.
Let me find this conversation.
What was her name, the little girl and the princess and the frog?
Princess Tiana.
Princess Tiana. You want to take the one Disney princess that my nieces can relate to and get rid of her?
Yeah. Let's see here.
She's probably not too fond of Mulan either.
Too dark. let's see. In the post, which have surfaced in screenshots on the forum, Zara says she likes all Disney princesses apart from Tiana and the Princess and the Frog. When a follower then asked, is this because Tiana is black? Zara replied with a winky face. Furthermore, Zara's comments that Disney store having Tiana dolls in stock is a sign that black parents don't buy their kids toys. Jesus.
Not only is she, like, I don't know what I'm more offended by, Marcus, the racism or the ignorance, the stupidity.
We have no money. We're black.
This, you should have tweeted out your Disney season pass to her.
I know.
So next time you go to Disney, you and your wife have to buy up all of the Tiana dolls in the store so we can't have these racist people making a statement.
Yeah, we gotta spend our money.
Even if you don't have kids, you gotta buy the Tiana doll.
And that's on top of the swastika stuff, Nazi imagery. It's just... And she also had some homophobic language as well in post. Now, we should all say this happened prior to her time in NXT, but still, as we found out with other people, it doesn't matter. If it's out there, people are going to find it, and they're going to fire you.
So, Marcus, this is not the... this isn't the chick that put the naked pictures of Seth Rollins up, right?
Oh, same chick.
This is the same one?
Yes, same one.
And he got back with her?
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at Seth Rollins sideways. Yeah, yeah. What is your judgment level at, brother?
So when Sting wins the title, you can thank racism.
Yes. And Sting should say, I did it for all the black folks out there.
This is for you, Princess Tiana.
He should have who? I don't even know the girl that did the voice for her. He should have her like come out and sing his theme song.
Yeah.
Wow. See that? I was thinking that it was two separate girls, but this is the same person.
Nah, same. Back. Yeah, same girl.
Wow. Come on, Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. For that reason alone, you should not trust this man to be the future of your company.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second. What do you do about Seth Rollins? Because it's not his fault, but at the same time, and he's glad he got through Yahoo before the story came out, because I know Brian Mann would have attacked him. But
as he should.
Yeah, as he should. But I mean, damn, like, you can't have, you know, being the champion is not only about being, you know, the best person in the ring, but also sort of being the face of the company.
Yeah.
So you can do these interviews like at Yahoo or on TV or anything like that. But when you have all this baggage associated with you, it makes yourself harder to do that job. So I do wonder what their long-term plans were for Seth and if that's going to be impacted by all this.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts him too much, but I do think that in terms of that face of the company role, they may be, if not having second thoughts, looking a little bit sideways at this guy, because here's an example that's not entirely similar, but not entirely the same, but it is a little similar. And a guy like CM Punk, who they had issues with in terms of being the go-to guy. Like, it seemed for the longest time they had a resistance and a reluctance to do that because he did not fit their preconceived notion of what a champion should be. And not that he was, you know, dating somebody that was saying ignorant stuff, but just he wasn't somebody that fit their mold. And Seth Rollins is a guy that already doesn't fit their mold in terms of what his appearance. And so then you add on to the top of that, associating with somebody that is a habitual line stepper, to use the Charlie Murphy phrase. Like, I'm not going to say she's a terrible human being, but she's a habitual line stepper.
No, I'm going to say she's a terrible human being. I'm going to say it. I mean, come on. It is
only. I'll allow it.
No, I mean, if it was one thing.
Like, maybe. The fact that he took her back after the pictures, Like, you should have been on your best behavior. Like, knowing, hey, your man is in position to get the biggest boost in his career, which probably comes with a bigger paycheck, which means y'all are going to be living a little bit larger. Why would you have stuff like not that she said this yesterday, but it was out there. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, she knew she said it.
Yes. Why wouldn't you either get ahead of the story or do what you could to cover up the story?
Yeah, I mean, let this be a lesson, boys and girls, about social media in general. If you have stuff out there from your past, take some time to delete it.
I think that should be everybody's task. We never give homework on this show. Yeah.
This is your homework.
This is your homework for this week. You know, make sure that your social media footprint is proper and on point. And number two, go online and buy Princess Tiana dolls from the Disney store.
Yes.
Because we need to support Black Princesses Matter.
Yes, they do.
So that is still ridiculous. Like, so you don't like her because she's black? Winky face. Like, what type of passive-aggressive millennial racism is this?
Yeah.
If you're going to be a racist, be a racist. Be Donald Trump.
Don't be halfway.
Yeah, don't be a half-stepping racist.
Keep it 100 with your racism.
Yeah, I can't. At least I can respect a screaming racist. I can respect Mel Gibson going crazy because it's like, okay, I know where Mel is standing at.
Yeah.
But, you know, coming at me with this little half-stepping racism. Oh, what's her name?
I lost it that fast. Zara? Let me find it.
I know it was something very...
Zara Schreiber.
Yes, very Germanic.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, hopefully, like, if you're Seth Rollins, don't you have to dump her now?
Yeah, I think the company might have said, hey, look, either you dump her.
Yeah.
Or you dump that title.
Yeah, who do you
which
love
one do you
more?
Like more? Right?
Who do you love more, the title or your woman?
Yeah.
I hope he picks his woman because that means champion Sting.
Followed by Sheamus cashin.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate.
That's the downside.
That's the downside. It's like Sting will have like a minute and a half of celebration, if that, and then Sheamus comes in. Ugh. Sheamus is probably Zahara's favorite wrestler other than Seth Rollins.
Hey, fella.
He's the whitest guy on the roster.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus, do we have any other stories on this wheel of immorality, or can we put this thing away?
Well, we got one last one. And
all right, let's spin it one more time. Like, if we were better at this, I'm not going to say if we were better at this, because we're pretty damn good at this, but if we were getting paid for this and had time to pre-produce stuff, like, I'd have a Wheel of Fortune spinner.
Yeah, you have that in there.
Yeah, I have it in there, but, you know, hey, this is free, so it is what it is. So let's spin this fictitious wheel, and let's get on to this last story.
Well, this last story happened in the mean streets of Orlando on Monday. While the Hogan stuff was going on, and there was a shooting outside the Performance Center in Orlando, and this guy's name Armando Montova.
For a second, I thought you was going to say Armando Alejandro.
Alejandro is his middle name.
Estrada.
It wasn't Estrada. It was Armando Alejandro Montova.
I was going to say, was he chewing a cigar?
He's going to be chewing nothing for a while. He was shot in the stomach by police outside the Performance Center. I guess there was a trespassing call. This is a guy who's reportedly been banned from the area because he's had sounds like a bit of a stalker. And he was reportedly obsessed with Lita, who had been working on Tough Enough and recently, so she was there all the time, and I guess he found his way over there. But this dude.
So, real quick, I'm gonna ask another semi-serious question before you get into some more details. You say this man was obsessed with Lita.
Mm-hmm.
Judging by his name, he was Hispanic.
Yep.
Are we sure this wasn't S.A. Rios?
I think we are. I think we're sure.
Okay. Yeah. Has anybody seen S.A. Rios in the last 10 years?
I have not, no.
So we can't be sure. go ahead.
I'm going to assume it wasn't him.
S.A. Rios.
Do you want to know what he did to get himself banned from the area?
I think that would be a crucial part of the story.
He was caught spreading his feces and urine on the side of the building.
What? Oh, now, Marcus, I'm not the greatest romancer in the world. You know, I've had my ups and downs when it comes to the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure spreading your feces and urine on the wall is not a way to attract a woman. Yeah. Or at least any woman that you would want to be attracted to.
Never tried that trick, huh? No. Don't ask until you try it.
Maybe that's what I've been missing in my life.
Yeah. More feces.
Feces and urine.
Yeah. So after that, the company got a restraining order against this dude, and he was violating that restraining order on Monday, and that's when the sheriff came out, and dude got shot in the stomach. So.
Wow. That is, like, that's... Oh, man, that is just ridiculous. Like, obviously this man has some mental issues. Like, why can't you be like 99% of the rest of the other fanboys out there, particularly the fanboys that are obsessed with the Divas, and just go online and download a bunch of videos and pictures?
Yeah.
or buy a, like, what was it, that auction they had, and then this dude spent, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars on page memorabilia and used ring wear. Yeah, like, yeah, I want a pair of Paige's boots.
No, thank you.
Yeah, wrestling fans are weird. I mean, let's just say it. Let's put it out there, Marcus.
Well, we didn't discuss this last week, but the Dean Ambrose story where the fan during a SmackDown taping jumped the barrier, and we don't know what exactly he had. There are reports that the dude had a knife. I would think that if it was a knife that the cops would have come out and said that, but he had something in his hand that he tried to do after Dean Ambrose and security took him down. But I am surprised this stuff doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, I mean, to the credit of the WWE and some of these other companies, I think that for the most part, they create an environment where you're encouraged to be a part of the show, but you also know that there is a barrier. Like, I'm thinking back to when I went to Raw in Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were close. You know, if you're in the front row, you can reach out and high-five the wrestlers, and then, you can be a part of the action. But there was a clear delineation of this space is for us, that space is for you, that I think, you know, most people of right mind respect.
If you're Roman Reigns, do you get worried now about going through the crowd? I joked about this during SummerSlam with some people who were over at the house. I was like, what's preventing someone just from taking a punch at Roman Reigns? Because he's making himself exposed by going through the crowd. You're talking about, for SummerSlam, a hostile crowd in Brooklyn. Yeah. It just seems like there's no...
And didn't he recently get, like, somebody threw a Money in the Bank briefcase at
security,
him?
He had the Money in the Bank briefcase sitting in the back of his head during the match in Canada. So it just seems like at some point that entrance might need to stop, because as you can see, there are a lot of crazy people in the world, and he's putting himself in danger by doing that entrance every week.
Yeah, and it's also not only do I think it's a good idea to stop that for his own safety, but also, you know, for the safety of the fans. Because who's to say if you take a swing at Roman Reigns, he's not going to forget who he is and where he is and punch you back?
Well, I mean, look at CM Punk a couple years ago, who similar incident where he was in the crowd talking to Vince McMahon, and a fan hit Punk. Punk turns around and hits the wrong dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's don't do stupid things, people. It's just wrestling.
Yeah, like I said, man, like we're wrestling fans and we're a part of the community. But yeah, wrestling fans are weird. Sometimes it's a good weird, like, you know, the people that make waiting signs and things like that.
By the way, where's your name Milton sign? What's up with this? Where's your sign?
You should ask somebody on the internet. Are you not making Nate Milton signs because he's black and they'll come back with a winky face?
Yeah, I mean, we got WH Part. No offense to WH Part.
Seems like no offense to WH Part.
Seems like a fine gentleman, but I'm just saying.
Like, I've been doing this longer, Sway. You ain't got the answers.
I mean, week in, week out, you're putting out shows.
Yeah, John Pollock's had a sign, The Law as a whole has had a sign. Wei Ting's had several signs. WH has had signs.
I mean, what's going on?
I think there's been some What's Next signs.
Yep.
So where's, at least if not a Nate Milton sign, where's my Review and Impact sign?
I mean, but yeah, I
listen. Maybe once we start the new show, there'll be a Keeping It 100 sign.
If Brian Mann is the sign before you, I'm I don't like to use the racism card, but
yeah, I might have to play it.
Yeah, might have to put it down.
maybe there are Nate Milton signs, but Vince McMahon is confiscating them. Not on my show.
Maybe we can't afford signs, Nate. Maybe it's just too much money.
Yeah, we can't afford the markers.
Yeah, or the paper.
And the poster board.
Yeah, just too much.
Oh, so sad. Speaking of too much, Marcus, I almost called you Brian. Speaking of too much, Marcus, this segment has been too much with all of the immorality that has been swirling around us, from Jimmy Snuka to Terry to Tommy to the racist chick to Mr. Feces and Urine. So I think we've got to cleanse our palate, take a step away, and come back with some good old clean ratchetness in segment four.
All right, sounds good.
Like, I need to get away from all this stuff and get to some wholesome stories like preachers hiding undercover trying to solicit oral sex.
Yes, we will deliver an on-air update on our story from last week.
Yes, we will. We will have that and more for you coming up in segment four. So don't go anywhere. We've got more Kings of Sport right after this.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, a proud member of the High Voltage Radio family of podcasts. HighVoltageRadio.com is where you can find the wildest selection of programs on the internet. Shows like Axology featuring friend of the program, Hat Club Andy. Shows like Bayside High and Drunk. Shows like Mad Mock. Shows like The Pittsburgh Nerd, The Gravy Age, The Ebony and Ivory Cast, Attack of the Fangirls, and of course, Mr. Throwback Thursday, featuring frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie. And there's a future appearance in the works for Marcus's favorite Puerto Rican, Alfredo Torres.
Boy, don't listen to that show.
So if you do want to listen to that show or any of the other shows on the network, head on over to highvoltageradio.com and tell them the King sent you. Well, that music means that it is time for one of our favorite segments every week. Segment four, it's our repository of ratchetness where we find some of the craziest stories in the world of sports and pop culture, and we bring it to you. Now, Marcus, last week we brought the people the curious case of one Reverend Ketron Anderson. Do we have a follow-up this week to give to the people?
Well, so we were supposed to do this live follow-up on the air, and since it had such life last week on the show where we discovered so much about this man, but during the break, I did a quick Facebook search on Ketron Anderson, and nothing. He's gone.
What did
you guys do to him? We just wanted some information. We didn't want you to force him to delete his Facebook page, man.
Okay, well, the Ketron's page is gone, but is the page for the church still up, Marcus?
That's also gone.
So the church is gone. Ketron is gone.
Yep.
Is fake Ketron still around?
Fake Ketron's gone, too.
Even fake Ketron had to get out of there.
Yeah.
So no follow-up or no update on the Ketron Anderson side of things. But, yeah, sometimes they say the best thing, Marcus, in situations like this is to just sit down and shut up. And I think Ketron's following that advice.
Yeah, just keep your mouth shut. Don't open your mouth.
I would have liked to have been at church this past Sunday, though, to see what he said.
Oh, man. Do you think he delivered the word on Sunday, or did they make a call to the holy bullpen?
It was like, you know what, Ketron, you might just sit in the back today.
Yeah, sit this one out.
Oh, yeah. I would have loved it if he had just gone up there and just gave a sermon with references to the IK Empanali incident. And just, sometimes Satan will come to you under the cover of darkness. But you got to punch him in the jaw and say, get away, devil.
The devil is a liar, and the devil is a Buffalo Bill.
The devil is a Buffalo Bill. So we have no update on that story, but we do have a story that is right in the wheelhouse of what segment four is all about.
We do. We talked about Steve Sarkisian, I believe it was, last week?
Yeah.
So we're going back across town now, back to Diddy Country in UCLA, in Westwood.
Okay, is that the coach still hitting people and being mean?
Mr. Losi is still coaching, I believe. He's still around. But one person who might not be around much longer in Westwood is defensive back Ishmael Adams, who has been suspended indefinitely by the team after he was arrested for allegedly stealing a cell phone from an Uber driver. This happened 3:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, and it happened right outside the campus police station.
Wow. That's where you want to commit crimes, allegedly? Yeah. So Marcus, you can help me out with this, because I do not have much experience with the world of Uber, but I'm sure it's a big thing out where you live. For those that don't know what this service entails, like what goes on when you call up an Uber driver?
Basically, it's an app. You open up your app, and it knows your location, and you can see other cars for hire that are in the area. And you can select your car. You basically have, I think, maybe four choices usually. You can go as high as a black car, a black SUV, or all the way down to...
I thought you were going to say a black driver.
Nah, well, they tend to mostly be black. I don't think I've had any white Uber drivers yet.
Huh.
Even in Minneapolis, I had a black woman.
Well, that was just Apollonia.
Yeah.
She needs the money.
But you can select your type of car, and you punch it in, and voila, the car shows up. It's I prefer it over taxis, much cheaper than taking a cab, and usually the cars don't smell, so that's a plus.
Are they cheaper than cabs or about the same?
No, they're cheaper.
Okay. And do you pay electronically or do you pay cash?
Electronically. Everything's electronic.
Really?
No tip involved. The tip's all, it's all factored in. So once you get to your destination, about a minute later, you'll get an email giving you the receipt. And it's always a mystery of like, you don't know how much exactly your ride is going to be. So if you're going a far distance, you better, brace yourself. But if you're going, a couple miles, it's going to be $5-6, and you'll get an email, and just like that, yeah.
That sounds like a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
And most of the drivers you've experienced have been friendly people?
Oh, extra friendly. A lot more friendly than cab drivers. Cab drivers in LA especially are the worst. Just awful. So, I had no issues with Uber. I know there's been stories about people and some shady Uber drivers with histories in terms of, criminal stuff. But in this case, the real criminal, allegedly, was Ishmael Adams, who...
That was going to be my next question. You've never been inclined to steal from your Uber driver, have you?
No. I have not.
So this guy just decided to take this man's cell phone or this woman's cell phone?
Yeah, and we haven't had any real details on what exactly sparked him to do this. I'm going to assume that this gentleman... probably owns a cell phone. He probably has one. Probably has a nice one. So why would you want to take the driver's cell phone?
Maybe he wanted to get in on that sweet Uber money.
And not only that, he was using force to take the cell phone. It wasn't like he was trying to snatch it and run.
Right.
There is a physical altercation to the point where, and this is where I have issue with this whole story. Do you want to take a guess of what this dude's bail was set at?
Oh, I'm assuming it's pretty high.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Is it more expensive than the cost of the cell phone?
Oh, way more expensive. It's it's not as bad as Diddy, but it's up there.
Oh. I'm going to say a couple grand.
100,000.
100,000?
Yes.
For a cell
for
phone?
For a cell phone.
Was this an iPhone 7?
It's better be some prototype that no one knows about.
Like, did he dig up Steve Jobs and rob the plans for the next 10 iPhones?
100,000. The same amount as Jimmy Snuka for murder.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yes.
I got to say, first thing that came to mind, though, Marcus, it's good to see a defensive back getting physical for a change. But second thing is, so he did this outside of the campus police station, you say.
Mm-hmm.
And so they immediately converged on the vehicle and arrested him on the spot?
Yeah, I think it still took him like 10 minutes for them to get him arrested and everything, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's your best guess in terms of will he be invited back? Like, is he a standout player?
He's really good.
Because we know talent will, if talent can trump the trouble, you can find a spot. But this seems like a little bit more trouble than they need right now with some of the other stuff swirling around.
Yeah, he's due back in court September 22nd, so that means he'll miss probably 3 games at least. And assuming that the charges aren't dropped on the 22nd, that means they'll probably set a court date then. I don't see him playing until this is actually resolved in court, so it could be the season.
I was going to say, pretty much the whole season shot.
Yeah.
So, like, not a good offseason for the Bruins. Like, you talked about the Salalosi thing with Diddy's kid. Didn't Snoop's son leave the program?
Yes, that's right. We never talked about it on the show. Yes, Snoop's son, who was a 4-star recruit, he actually had talent, unlike Justin Combs, came down between, I think, USC, UCLA, a couple other schools. He decided to go to the Bruins. He left before the season even started. So he's out of the program. And now this.
What was the reason he gave for leaving? Like, was it an issue with the coaching staff? Or?
No, he said he wanted to focus on acting. So, the way that Straight Outta Compton ended, if they do a sequel.
Oh, he's getting ready to play his daddy.
Hey, he looked better. He looks probably more like Snoop than the dude they had in the movie. Had,
yeah.
Yeah, it can't be that dude back.
I didn't know who that guy was.
Yeah.
He's like, for sizzle. Like, who is this guy talking like Snoop? Oh, that's supposed to be Snoop?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, though, if you think about it, Marcus, especially in an age where the concussion issue is something that is front of mind, no pun intended, when people talk about football, it doesn't surprise me. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird that a guy as highly recruited and as talented as Snoop's son is would just walk away, but he's got options, which a lot of these kids don't have.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if I can make as much money making movies or making music or whatever and not damage my brain, except for the copious amounts of weed that my daddy smokes, why wouldn't I go that route?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, it is like not a good offseason for the Bruins and Jim Moore. And I like Jim Moore. I think Jim Moore is a good coach.
He is. I feel like he's sort of losing control a bit with his locker room. There seems to be a lot of news coming out of that program.
Well, I mean, to be fair, not to defend the actions of what Ishmael did. Like, if your coaches, and I'm not saying Mora, but certainly Salalosi, if your coaches are kind of goons, doesn't surprise me if the players do goonish things.
Yeah.
So, you're like, where'd you learn this from? Be like that old commercial. I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you. Like, I learned it from you, Sal. How does this man still have a damn job?
I that's a great question.
Like, I understand he was the victim of the Diddy attack, but it's not like he was completely
something led to the attack. He wasn't innocent.
Yeah.
Not even Diddy's that crazy, just to attack the dude out of nowhere.
Just take that, Sal. Take that. Can't stop. I thought I told you that we won't stop. So in terms of, we talked earlier with Marcus Grant about your beloved Trojans. How do you think UCLA is going to do this season?
I think they'll be good. They have a freshman quarterback starting for them this year in Josh Rosen. So, I mean, anytime you had a true freshman. So anytime you have a freshman out there, it's going to be a bit of a learning process at the position. But defensively, they're pretty talented. Jim Moore is a solid coach. Their non-conference schedule isn't too difficult. They open actually with UVA on Saturday.
Oh, that's going to be a tough challenge right there, those Cavaliers.
Yeah, UVA sucks. Come on, you know that.
go Mike London.
And then they actually take a rare road trip to Las Vegas to play UNLV.
Okay.
Next Saturday night. During the Mayweather fight, actually. No. I'm not going to Vegas. Stop. You're like the third person this week. So when's your next trip to Vegas? I don't have any trips scheduled.
See, the people know, Marcus.
I don't need y'all judging me.
Much like Terry in the last segment in the Ringside Rap, sometimes you got to look at yourself, Marcus, and realize what you're doing wrong. Realize that you need help.
I don't need help. I'm good.
You can't, I mean, I know you don't have kids, but you can't spend your kids' shoe money on the Mayweather fight.
Yeah, so that's at the same time as the Mayweather fight, the Bruins will be in town.
Okay.
But yeah, their schedule, they don't play Oregon this year, which is a plus for them. USC gets Oregon and UCLA back to back on the schedule this year, so I think definitely USC has a tougher schedule. And we'll see. I mean, I think it's all going to come down to the quarterback. I mean, Brett Hundley was very good for the last few years for the Bruins and really has made the difference for that program. So, big shoes to fill.
Here's a question, though, Marcus. Like, and it's something that I'm always fascinated by. When you've got somebody with some talent that is in the backyard of one of these big-time programs and they slip down through their fingers to another program, and not saying that Miami isn't a great school, but you think, man, with quarterback, there's such a premium on quarterbacks at every level. How come Brad Kaya didn't get more of a look from those schools in your area?
Except Rosen had signed, I want to say, as a junior, I believe, and USC is already stacked quarterback as it is, to the point where they had a guy, Richie Town, who was a 4-star recruit, who I believe was an incoming freshman who got here and then got to USC and already transferred out because he knew that.
So you say he got out of town?
He's transferring to Arkansas. So I just think that, you know, with Kessler coming back for senior season, there's just no room for guys. So I think that's why Brad ended up going to the U.
Yeah, because I'm not a fan of a lot of what Miami's done over the past 4 or 5 seasons, but I think he's a really good prospect.
Yeah.
So, you know what else is a really good prospect, Marcus?
What's that?
The prospect of another great show next week. Hey, we're professionals here.
Woo, 126 shows in.
Yeah. Good showing. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we didn't just start this yesterday.
No.
Not unlike some of these other black podcasts that are hopping on this trend.
Yeah, Andreas. No, I'm kidding.
Nah, that's no way to talk to your PWG homie.
Yeah.
You shared pizza in a hot-ass arena with him.
We didn't get any pizza. We just heard. I heard about it on Reddit.
You didn't get the pizza?
Not at intermission, no.
Oh. I think it was because you're black.
Yeah, well, they're like, they're lactose. They went with pizza.
What's the guy's name? Landis?
Max Landis.
They're like, Max, how come you didn't give Marcus and Andreas any pizza? Is it because they're black? Winky face. So, but if people do want to reach out to you, Marcus, and share some stories from PWG or ask some questions to you, where can they reach you at?
You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And I haven't plugged the Yahoo Sports Wrestling Tumblr page yet, I don't think.
No, not on this show. You've done it on the
Facebook
page.
Yeah, so check out the Tumblr page. It's called The Turnbuckle, and it's operated by me, just posting random stuff that I see on the web. So give that a follow if you're on Tumblr.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter, N8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can check me out on Instagram if you want, Black Nate, B-L-A-Q-U-E, _8, because I like to be fancy. And tonight, well, whenever you listen to this, I'll probably post a picture of this delicious, well, I don't even know if it's delicious yet, Marcus.
More peanuts? But
it's, not any more peanuts, those nutritious and delicious peanuts. But this is Mike's Hard Lemonade, and it's a Jamaican lemonade flavor. And the description is crisp limeade with hints of brown sugar, which already you kind of hit me with the bait and switch because you said it's Jamaican lemonade, but you're telling me it's limeade.
Yeah, that's.
But I'm intrigued with the brown sugar though. That seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, brown sugar is a good thing.
Yeah, so I'll post a picture of that on my Instagram, and you can check that out. You can follow the show on Twitter, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter. Check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. And as a note, we talked about fantasy football this week. The cutoff date for the Briscoe-Sanders Fantasy Football League will be this Saturday at midnight. I don't have my calendar in front of me, Marcus. What would be the date?
Let me check here. September...
Is it the 4th?
No, 6th, I think. Hold on. Yeah, September 6th. Sunday?
September 6th. Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. September 5th.
September 5th? So, what kind of Sunday? Because yeah. Saturday at midnight. But Saturday at midnight, we're going to close up the registration for the Briscoe Sanders Fantasy Football League. And we'll be telling you guys that made it in, the guys that made the cut, that are challengers to the franchise's throne. We will post on our Facebook page when we are going to have our live draft. And speaking of drafts, Marcus, has your draft concluded?
Yes, and I got my report card back from Yahoo.
And what grade did Marcus Vandenberg get?
I got an A. So, thank you, Marcus Grant.
Who's the best player you got?
I'll run through my team real quick here. Let's see. Tony Romo, Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, Steve Smith Sr., CJ Anderson, Jimmy Graham, Alfred Morris, CJ Spiller, Aaron Foster, Roddy White, Joy Bell, Zach Ertz, Ruben Randall, Phil Dawson, and the New York Jets defense.
That's pretty stacked. How many teams are there in your league?
This is a 12-team. Let me check here. Yeah, 12-team league.
Okay, because I think we had a 14. I think we had 14 teams in last year. Because the pickings were starting to get a little bit slim.
Yeah, this is my second draft of the day. I have one, two, three, I have five more to go.
So I'm getting to the point, Marcus, where like I'm already in two leagues, and then the Kings of Sport League is going to make the third one. I think that's my limit, because then you get to the point where you've got like. Competing interests.
Yeah.
It's like you got the quarterback that's playing, the quarterback you need, but you need points on both teams.
Or you start drafting the same dudes, because I think I have now Joy Bell in all my leads. So if he goes down, we all go down.
If he goes down or if he pulls a Doug Martin.
Yeah, I have Steve Smith in a bunch of leads now. I have DeAndre Hopkins in two leads, so...
What about Jacoby Jones?
No, funny enough, didn't get drafted.
Yeah. That's a sleeper, Marcus.
Yeah, real sleep.
But don't you guys sleep on the next edition of the World's Most Dangerous Sports Show, and that is the Kings of Sport. So, Marcus, unless you've got any other news or opinions to give out to the people, we're going to call it a show.
Nah, that's it for me.
All right, so thanks for listening as always. Be sure to download the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Like, rate, review, and share the show with your friends.
Oh, God, I had to share this with you.
What's up?
Your company. I'm gonna send this to you on the Facebook chat.
Uh-oh. Marcus with some last-minute, late-breaking news. Let's see what Marcus has shared with me. Impact Wrestling. It's true. Nicki Minaj trained under TNA Dixie. What's hashtag? What's good?
Look at the responses for the memes back of Nicki's face.
The funny thing is, I wouldn't put it past Nicki to respond. Nicki's weird on Twitter.
Yeah.
Either Nicki will respond or Meek Mill will be the new commissioner of TNA.
Oh. Man, this company.
So yeah. Review and Impact, I'm sure Brian Mann and I will be talking about that this weekend as we head down the road to the end of our coverage of TNA, and we get ready for this new project called Keeping It 100. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for the, you know, the show to continue on well past whatever happens with TNA. Now, what happens if TNA keeps going? Like, next year this time, TNA is still kicking.
That would be the ultimate swerve. Like, if once we start announcing this new show, and then the next thing you know, TNA's got a new TV deal.
Yeah, that'd be...
like, you know what? We're still ending it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we got better ideas and better things to do. I'm sure we'll still talk about TNA from time to time, but...
Oh, of course.
How could you not? I mean, they are the Nicki Minaj of pro wrestling.
Yeah, there's something.
Not really relevant, but they somehow seem to stick around and always making an ass out of themselves.
Yeah. So. A big ass.
So let's get out of here, Marcus, so I can get ready. I need to drink this Jamaican lemonade to get ready to watch TNA tonight.
All right.
So we'll catch you guys next week for another edition of the Kings of Sport. So for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Keep your head up, Princess Tiana, because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.